This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning, Bay Area, North Bay, East Bay, South Bay. Welcome into a little bit of an edition, a different edition of the Morning Roast. My name is Evan Giddings alongside Sam Lubman, Carter Chickering, Cam Williams with you. And a good Monday morning to all, especially Dub Nation. Sam, yesterday was an unbelievable experience, top to bottom, as the Warriors not only got a win, not only retired number 9 for Andre Iguodala, but I think has the entire Bay Area in a tizzy, because this is a basketball team that looks completely different than the one 6 games before Jimmy Butler got here, or 6 games ago, I should say, before Jimmy Butler got here. And they're the talk of the town once again. But first and foremost, I know you were there yesterday. We were all there. It was a good time. What's up, man? I'm happy to be on the air with you.
Yeah, hello there, man. Good morning. Happy to have you on the show, Evan. Did you enjoy the wake-up call this morning?
Oh, every single... Come on, man. Well, no, I'm going to be honest. I could not sleep last night.
Okay. And part of it... excited to do the show with me, huh?
Well, yeah.
I have that effect on people.
Excited to talk about the game.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a fun one yesterday. So we were all there, and seeing a guy like Andre Iguodala get honored, seeing that number 9 hung up in the rafters there, it was really something. We'll get into it, because the impact that Andre Iguodala had on the Warriors and establishing the culture or the role he played in establishing the culture that so defined this Warriors dynasty. It really cannot be undersold enough, the impact that he had. But then on top of that, yeah, an incredible Warriors win, 126-102 over the Mavericks yesterday. And Evan, it's looking like a great, just a totally different team. I was sitting next to our guy, Mark Grandy, who was doing the pre and post game. And obviously, as we all know, pushes all the buttons for Willen and Dibbs in the afternoon. And I turned to him in the third quarter, at the end of that third quarter, and it was just like, hey, remember when, you know, the Warriors have a lead at halftime? We were just like, oh, great. How are they going to screw it up today? We're not feeling that way anymore. This is feeling like such a different, better, more exciting basketball team in every sense of the word right now.
It does. And look, we're going to give everyone a fantastic opportunity to get in on the fun, because we're giving away a Jimmy Butler jersey today.
Jimmy Buckets?
Jimmy Butler III. We're going to be giving away that jersey in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, at 8:30, Tim Roy, voice of the Golden State Warriors, is going to be joining us. Looking forward to that. And, yeah, look, to the 415, don't worry. Spadoni and Shasky, I think they're going to be back. What, on Wednesday, you're going to have Sam and myself in the next couple of days. We're going to have some fun over the next 8 hours of radio, obviously taking you up until Steiny and Guru. But the thing is, about yesterday, as a whole, Sam, like what? Let's start with what your favorite part was. Was it the Andre Iguodala ceremony, pregame? Was it the game itself? Was it Jimmy Butler's home debut? Was it sending Klay Thompson home with a frown on his face? What was your favorite part about Sunday?
I think I'm going to take the easiest answer. It was seeing that number 9 rise out from the table during the ceremony and then looking up at the top of the rafters and seeing that black curtain lifted up, that number 9 that will hang up there forever, which is a very long time, as Bob Fitzgerald said. And I do agree, that is a very, very long time. Seeing that number 9 immortalized up there, that really meant a lot for me, Evan, because, you know, we're Warrior fans, growing up longtime Warrior fans. What Iguodala once meant, or what Iguodala does mean for this organization, what his arrival meant, the legitimacy that it gave. I think, you know, Steve Kerr before the game was talking about it. He wasn't head coach of the Warriors when Iguodala arrived, but he did observe it from afar. And he said, you know, he described it as a coup when the Warriors got Andre Iguodala, because free agents were not coming to the Warriors. And the legitimacy that he brought that young team coming off of that playoff series victory over Iguodala's Denver Nuggets, how much they pushed the Spurs in that second round, and that game one collapse they had where the Warriors lost in OT, it still stings to this day, the opportunity they had there. But when he showed up, it was, the Warriors are no longer just some, like, you know, whatever young team. This is a team that's actually building something into something special. And seeing it all come to fruition and seeing it all just come down and the success that we've had, seeing that number 9 go up, I was just thinking about all the success that was brought to this organization because Iggy said, you know what, I need to go join those guys. It was a true everything kind of comes to this moment kind of situation there. And it was just very special to be able to witness that in person.
It's interesting you say that Iggy wanted to come here. Andre wanted to come here. The Warriors wanted Andre. It reminds me how many bullets that this team has dodged across its dynasty. They wanted Dwight Howard. Mm-hmm. Dwight Howard was the free agent of that offseason that the Warriors wanted to court. Bob Myers told us as such yesterday. It has been true for quite some time. And instead of getting the big piece, like, ironically, at the trade deadline, they wanted to get Kevin Durant. They've wanted to get Paul George. They've wanted to get Lauri Markkanen. But instead, the player that ends up on the team is the player that is the perfect player for the situation. Now, is Jimmy Butler going to be a guy that's going to help deliver championships like Andre Iguodala did? That remains to be seen. And I have my doubts. But the fact remains that Andre Iguodala, to your point, Sam, was the perfect player at the perfect moment in what became a budding dynasty. And he's someone that, to me, I have, I don't know, different thoughts about Iguodala. I don't think he's a perfect person or a perfect player, but he was the right player. And he just, especially at that point in his career, I don't know if early on when he was, say, an all-star in Philadelphia, if he could have come off the bench with the amount of graciousness and pride that he did. I don't know if he was even in, if he was in Denver, you know, if he would have wanted to join a team like Golden State. But he talked about playing with Steph Curry during the World Games in 2010, getting an idea of what the baby Splash Brothers could be, and realizing where he fit in, obviously, as a starter, his first season under Mark Jackson, and then coming off the bench for the remainder of his career and his final four championships. You know, Andre Iguodala is a special player, and I think getting an opportunity to hear from everyone around him, including himself, it's going to be a rare thing. Like, Andre doesn't really let a lot of people in, and he even made a quip before the pregame media availability that, all right, this is like the last time, Raymond, you're going to get me. But he was gracious enough that every single question that was asked of him,
I
thought you had a really good one, Sam.
Thank you.
You know, he gave 2 to 3 minute answers. They were thoughtful. They were enlightening, and it just reminded me of why Andre Iguodala is the person that is seeing number 9 going to the Raptors.
Yeah, you mentioned perfect player at the perfect time, and I loved how you tied Jimmy Butler in there as well, because Jimmy's looking like that same guy as well. We'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, Evan, I mean, you talk about you know, the starts that he had. He had 615 starts and 615 games in Philadelphia. He started another 80 of 80 games for Denver in his 1 year there. I mean, this guy who literally started every single game that he played in before he came to the Warriors, and then 63 games, 63 starts in his first year with the Warriors under Mark Jackson. Yeah, coming up, you know, starting games, hearing his name announced in those starting lineups, that was just how it was expected for Iggy. And yeah, I did ask him that, you know, at the end last night, you know, at the end of his pregame presser about, you know, I said his decision to come off the bench. I don't know if it was his decision. It was the Warriors' decision that he went along with it.
He accepted the decision.
Yeah, he went along with it. And basically what I asked him that question, because when he agreed to come off the bench like that, he set a tone that I think truly defined what Warrior basketball has been for the last 10 years, which is that selfishness, that team-centric, strength-in-numbers basketball. And ever since then, you know, Steph, Clay, Draymond, they have at each in their point as a Warrior had to come off the bench for one reason or another. And every time they had to come off the bench, it was always the phrase, well, if Iggy could come off the bench, what excuse do you have? And setting that tone like he did, I don't know. The Warriors had a lot of talent. I'm not going to say that that's the difference between a Warrior dynasty and not a Warrior dynasty. But, like, the impact that creates, the ripple effects that it's created through this organization 10 years later cannot be stated enough. It set a tone that defined this organization in such an incredible, positive way for a man who just, he realized, like, I think it was Steve Kerr said it during his, you put ego over, or you sacrifice ego for championships. And that line hit so hard for me, because, like, that's basically what it was. It was understanding that bigger picture of, if I take a little bit less now, I'm going to get so much more on the back end later on. And that mentality throughout this organization allowed this team to go so far and win four incredibly entertaining championships.
Well, and that's why I honestly don't know if the word that I would use for Iguodala is selfless, because we heard a lot about Andre from Andre yesterday, and Iguodala loves him some Iguodala. But I think the word that I would use to define Andre Iguodala is prescient. He is someone with immense foresight, and in a lot of basketball situations, it appears that he's the smartest person in every single room. And from that standpoint, I get that sacrificing your starting role would be seen as a selfless act. But I also think that Andre is so smart, and he explained this to you during pregame with your question, and I thought it was the most, like, illuminating answer that I've heard from a player that's talked about relinquishing their role. Because, in all honesty, it wasn't a sacrifice. It may have seemed like a sacrifice at the time, but when he described breaking down what it's allowed him to become, how it's lengthened his career, how it's allowed him to make more money, to allow him to invest in the Bay Area, in Silicon Valley, to create this brand that has now become Andre Iguodala, to now be involved in all these different organizations, to, I think, be the executive director of the Players Association, it allowed him to do so many different things that I think he had the foresight to be a part of. But that demanded him to come off the bench, because most important was basketball. Most important was winning. And he has helped pave the way for a lot of winning players that can play late in their careers that aren't going to be superstars or starters. But if you're able to adjust your role, you can continue to make a lot of money. And that was also a common thread and theme throughout a lot of these conversations.
He's very big on his money, yeah.
Andre Iguodala is all about his bread. And so while selfless to me is taking it maybe a step too far, prescient is absolutely the word that I would use to describe Andre, because he had the foresight to know that even if I'm quote-unquote taking a sacrifice, it's the old adage, you take one step back to take two steps forward, or in a reverse order. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Andre's the guy that knows what is going to put him in the best position to succeed. And that ultimately became the team's success.
Yeah. So I'd be kind of curious what other Warrior fans have to think about Andre Iguodala, seeing that number go up there. I like that. The word that you would use to describe Andre Iguodala, 888-957-9570 is that number. Give us a call. Tell us what your thoughts about Andre Iguodala are. I think that's, yeah, it's a really good way of saying it there, Evan. Because, yeah, he was a guy who was always thinking about himself, but he was also one of the smarter basketball players we've seen come through this organization. I feel like every time you talk to anyone about Andre Iguodala, and we'll be talking to Tim Roy later today at 8:30. He's a guy who spent a lot of time around Iggy. A word that comes up a lot is, yeah, he was a smart player. Very smart, very intuitive. He understood this game, and that's why I think, you know, he was able to kind of see all the different angles of what coming off the bench would do for him and would do for this organization and do for this team. And it just, it goes to all the different ways where, was he the perfect basketball player? Maybe not. I mean, he wasn't the greatest basketball player ever, but definitely a great player. Will he be in the Hall of Fame someday? I would probably put him in. I'll admit there's some Warrior fan bias there in that, but you know, that's,
everybody gets him.
Everybody. That's why, like, it's a basketball.
Everybody gets
it. It's a basketball Hall of Fame, not just the NBA. Yeah.
Basketball Hall of Fame.
But yeah, it was just an incredibly special day, special moment. What was an incredible game, too. Let's, you know, not let that get away. It was just a couple weeks ago, this Mavericks team, you know, blitzed the Warriors at the end and got a very, it's the only loss of the Jimmy Butler era, was in Dallas a couple weeks ago. And to see the Mavericks come in, see Klay again, and Jimmy Butler's home debut, and the Warriors to get a win like they did yesterday against a team that beat them just a couple weeks ago. This team is starting to look so different right now. And, you know, we're talking about Andre Iguodala and him being the right guy at the right time. Jimmy Butler has quickly become, not quietly, quickly and loudly become that same guy for the Warriors, where this team just looks so different now with him in the rotation on a night-to-night basis. It's incredible how much he has stabilized this team that was really kind of shaky for much of the pre-All-Star break part of the season.
That's Sam Levin. My name is Evan Giddings, filling in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky out until Wednesday here in the Morning Roast, holding it down for you. Shout out to our YouTube chat brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. As Sam mentioned, we're going to talk to Tim Roy at 8:30, but also in that hour, I mean, probably one of the coolest giveaways we've had in some time, we're going to be giving away a Jimmy Butler III jersey, a number 10. And I know a lot of people are a bit jaded by Jimmy's and number 10s here in the Bay Area, but this one's going to be a pretty cool giveaway. So stick around. Of course, that's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, all locked in right here on the Morning Roast. You know, for me, yes, I think Jimmy Butler is certainly a place that we have to get into. And I don't know if it's, like, I heard people comparing him to Andre yesterday, and I think that they're very different players, but they're both winners. And I know that Jimmy Butler doesn't have any rings to show for it, but if you ask any of those guys on that team right now through six games, you'd be hard-pressed to find one that doesn't tell you that Jimmy Butler impacts winning. And that's how Steph sort of, I think, dodged the question a little bit after the game when he was asked about, do you see any similarities between the two? And he's like, you know, I think they're very different people, but when they're both on the floor, good things happen.
Yeah.
And Jimmy does it in a different way than Andre does, but I think that the commonality between the two is just calm. When they're both on the floor, things are calm. And you saw it from about the 3:40 mark in the first quarter to the 8-minute mark in the second quarter. When Butler was running with Draymond and Pajemski and Moody and Quinton Post, things were, it was like an organized, spontaneous stretch.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't chaotic, but it was organized. And things were just calm when Jimmy's on the floor. And in that way, I absolutely believe that he and Iguodala share a similar characteristic.
Yeah, and they had that veteran presence that, you know, Steve Kerr really likes. Jimmy, another very worldly smart player who has the court vision that Steve Kerr loves. I think it's fair, I think, to compare the impact that their arrivals had. Now, they've impacted this team in different ways. But I get where people see those similarities. I do agree with you. Yeah, different people, different players. But Yeah, there is a stability that Jimmy Butler brings to the court, especially in the non-Steph minutes. Remember, there was a time not too long ago in this season, Evan, where when Steph left the court, it was you're praying for those minutes because you don't know what's going to happen. And now you have a situation where at all times during these games, you got Jimmy or Draymond or Steph Curry on the court now. And when you have one of your big three out there, it's just it's a better product that they're able to put there, a more successful product. And you know, I'm a sample size guy, Evan. A couple games for me isn't enough, but six games in, the sample size is getting a little bit larger, and the improvements are just are so more and more noticeable. None more so than I think the improvement that sticks out to me is at the free throw line. You know, before Jimmy arrived, this was without a doubt the worst free throw shooting team in the NBA, and in the six games that he has been here, they're shooting 83% from the line, second best in the league over in that time frame. For a team that has the best free throw shooter ever in Steph Curry to be at the NBA's basement in free throw shooting blew my mind, but that's just how bad things were. And it's just those things right there, you know, those fixing the way he's helped with the free throw shooting, the way that he's helping the young guys. We're seeing how much Brandon Podziemski is flourishing alongside Jimmy Butler. It's just, it's almost top to bottom, just the impact that he's having on this team, on this organization. So yeah, if you want to compare that to Andre Iguodala in terms of just how his arrival has, I don't want to say legitimized in the same way, but just the boost that it has given to this team. Yeah, I'd say there's a comparison there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. Jimmy to me is, Jimmy to me is different than Andre. Very much so. You know, well, you mentioned the free throw shooting. I actually think it means that the Warriors weren't bad at free throws. I don't think it does.
Okay.
One player does not make a team go from last to first if you're a legitimately bad free throw shooting team. I think there were a few bad free throw shooters on the roster, but clearly the entire team was not bad at free throws if you jump from 30th to first. I mean, it's the same reason why I think that defensively, you know, they haven't necessarily taken a step back because they still have good defenders on this team. The fact that they've generated as many attempts as they have from the free throw line is, I think, pretty impressive. But overall, it's like, yeah, Jimmy Butler, if he's going to be your lead guy, your lead dog, you're going to get to the line a lot. I know we got to hit a break here, and what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. I do want to get back into Andre Iguodala, though. I want to table the Jimmy Butler stuff. Obviously, we got his jersey giveaway coming up at 8 o'clock. In that 8 o'clock hour, Tim Roy is going to join us at 8:30 via the River Islands guest line. But when I say Andre Iguodala, what do you think of? One word, one memory, one moment. What do you think of when you think of Andre Iguodala? Sam Lum and Evan Giddings in for the Joes here on the Morning Roast. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Warriors coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro.
Listening to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I got my cup of Joe, but the Joes are out for the next couple days. You're going to have Evan Giddings alongside Sam Lumman here on the Morning Roast, rocking with you from 6 to 10. And Sam, you know, to me, the message that stuck with me yesterday from the retirement portion, and we'll get to the game, we'll get to Jimmy Butler. We're going to be giving away a number 10 jersey in the 8 o'clock hour. Also going to talk to Tim Roy at 8:30. But the thing that stood out to me really was his opening statement, because this, I think, is one of the many reasons why people fell in love with the now retired number 9.
None of this would have happened without all of you, the fans. And when I say that, thank you. I truly realize that you have an appreciation for me, which is very hard to feel sometimes. Thank you.
Sounds like a guy who gets it.
He does. And the fan love for Iguodala yesterday was just so appropriate. And it was just, it's emotional to think about. Just, we're already at the point, Evan, where it just seems like yesterday that he was arriving to the Warriors and the buzz that was around him in that arrival and what it meant and how it put this team on the map. And now here we are, you know, seeing that jersey in the rafters. Klay is on a different team. Steph and Draymond are in the twilight of their career. And seeing Dub Nation give a chance to truly just be able to embrace and appreciate that for a day and shower him with all that love. There's the one fan you can kind of hear. She screamed out, "We love you, Andre!" And you know, I couldn't help but chuckle at that. And the fact that everybody heard that and he even acknowledged it, he does get it. He does understand. He saved his biggest thank yous for the end. You know, one was for Stephen Curry, which was his final thank you. And the other one was for the fans. And he had some great words for the fans who, I think they understood, this fan base understood what his arrival meant, and I don't think this fan base has ever taken what Andre brought to this team for granted for one ever.
His arrival in 2013?
Yes.
See, I don't think anybody knew what this was going to become in 2013.
Well, I don't think, definitely not on that grand a scale, but like what his arrival did do, the buzz that it created, it was, the Warriors went into that 2013-14 season with some big expectations of taking steps forward, and his arrival, I thought, was a big part of that. I mean, I had high expectations for that team going in. I mean, I could have been overzealous about it, but...
Well, I just think it's funny that was the year that they actually took a step back. Mm. You lost in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you made it to 7 games, but the year before, they won a playoff series.
Yeah, no, it was. That's why it was disappointing when they fell short, and that's part of why Mark Jackson didn't have a job after that season. When he arrived, it was just like, you just won a playoff series. You really battled the Spurs really well for 6 games. Like, you add this piece, that's supposed to be the next step that's going to elevate you. Yeah, they did take a step back. It was rough that first year because it really wasn't working like we envisioned it, but. Yeah, at the time, though, when he arrived, there was definitely a increase in the expectations that I think we wanted to see from that team that year.
Well, I think it was representative yesterday, too, that, all right, who do you think got the loudest ovation not named Andre Iguodala yesterday?
I mean, I guess it's outside of Iggy, outside of Iguodala and Steph, so I would probably say Jimmy Butler got the loudest ovation when he was introduced, unless you're going first during
I'm talking about during the ceremony.
Oh, during the ceremony.
The ceremony, there was one guy that stood out. And to me, it's symbolic of why Andre Iguodala is going into the retirement era, is getting his number retired. He's getting his number retired. Number 9 is going up, the 7th number ever in Golden State Warriors franchise history. It's because the other guy that got the loudest ovation was Sean Livingston.
That's, yeah.
He was right there front and center, and I saw people standing up for Sean Livingston. And it goes to show that Andre represents that era, but there were so many pieces that were integral, that were respected, that were a piece of the fabric of what that dynasty turned into. But specifically the 15 team, I realized Durant came in and changed everything, but the bench mob, Sean Livingston, Mo Spates was in the house.
Called the wise men, right?
Leandro Barbosa was a part of that group. Andre Iguodala ran the second unit and eventually became finals MVP. But to me, the fans giving as much love to Andre Iguodala, who is going to be enshrined as a player like Sean Livingston, whose number is probably never going to be retired, but will forever be beloved, to me was representative of the entire night and really why the ceremony to me was so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the strength in numbers. I mean, it was so many guys, so many great heroes who are obviously, they're going to be honoring that 2015 team, the 10-year anniversary of that championship tomorrow when the Warriors take on the Charlotte Hornets. And yeah, I mean, Sean Livingston right up there, Mo Spates, David West, another name. I mean, Iguodala, he was part of that veteran core. I think they call him, the wise men, not the James Wiseman, the veteran wise men. And having veteran guys like that on a young team like the Warriors were, I mean, you need that blend of old and new, or old and young, I should say, on these teams. And yeah, that you talk about that bench mob and the recognition that Warrior fans gave there, very special. And one of the first guys the first guy who spoke was the architect of those teams, and that was Bob Myers. And You know, we talk about, you know, what needed to happen for Iguodala to come here. We've all heard the story as Warrior fans where, Bob Myers was in Tahoe that weekend on a family vacation. I think he always said that he didn't spend any time with his family. He said, yes, it was the only time in his life he's ever grown a beard because he was just working tirelessly all weekend long.
I'm glad he got rid of that beard.
Yeah, to find the money, to find Joe Lacob's money, as he said, and make Iguodala happen. Let's take Bob tell the story of how Andre Iguodala became a Warrior. I could listen to that story over and over again, just how he tells it. Well, it was during the ceremony, he's talking about, the pitch that he's making to Andre, and he's talking the story, and then I guess Andre just interrupted him and was like, Bob, I'm in. I want to come here. Do we have the sound? Yeah, let's just play that then.
I got it right here. Here's Bob Myers.
We had I don't know how many pages we put together, and Rob Pelinka, his agent, was in there. It was a small conference room in Los Angeles, and we said, Andre, so here's how we see you fitting in here, and we'd like you at the small forward, and Andre said, stop. I'm coming. Just get the money.
Again, as much as it's about winning with Andre, it is also about money.
Yeah.
And the Warriors were trying to throw money at all these different players. They tried to throw money at Dwight Howard. I think it was after Andre Iguodala, but they also threw money at a player like DeAndre Jordan, who eventually signed a restricted free agency with the Clippers.
A couple times they went after Jordan, yeah.
They have gone after players in the past, but Andre, to your point, Sam, was the first one that said yes.
Mm-hmm.
David Lee, and that's true, from the 650, brings up a good point, started the trends of players wanting to come here, but Andre was someone that specifically told Steph after that Denver series and told the Warriors, like, this is what it could become. Again, that's why the word that I would use to describe Andre isn't necessarily selfless, but it's prescient. He was someone with immense foresight that was able to see everything before it happened, whether it was on the court, whether it was in free agency, although technically it was a sign and trade, I believe, that got him here.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to see things before they happened, and that's why, Myers, Curry, Kerr, everyone who talked yesterday about Andre is always going to describe him as the older brother that they could always go to and rely on.
Yeah, and I like that. But yeah, it's just, yeah, he was, yeah, the older brother, the steadying guy, and that's why I think the word that I would use to describe Andre is, yeah, he was a stabilizer in terms of just, he was able to stay, like, when young teams like that are coming up, it can go either which way. You don't know if a team's gonna make that leap that's gonna vault them to that championship level of contention, or if they're gonna be a team like, I mean, how many great young teams, I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the time, that was the young team that everybody was looking at to kind of take that next leap and become that dominant dynasty, and it just never came together. And it easily could have happened like that for the Warriors. They easily could have fallen short, and things could have been broken up. Remember, there was a time when this team was talking about a Kevin Love for Klay Thompson trade. Thank God that never happened. But Iguodala just, he steadied this rise in a way that, he stayed this rise in a way that paved the way for this dynasty. That I don't know if we have this dynasty if Iguodala doesn't show up, which is crazy to say now. But yeah, that's just how much the impact that he had in terms of just keeping this thing steady and helping elevate this team to a level that we've seen them be at for the last 10 years, or the better part of the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think even if Iguodala doesn't get to Golden State, Steph and Clay and Dre and eventually, I think they still find a way to win championships, but it doesn't look the same, and it certainly doesn't feel the same. The kind of love, like, again, all those faces that were there at that retirement ceremony yesterday are still attached in some way, shape, or form to the Warriors, and they're always going to have a place in Golden State. I mean, Bob Myers is doing the game, but obviously he was there. He received a warm welcome, even though he's no longer with the organization anymore. Sean Livingston stepped away after being in somewhat of, I think, in an advisor role with the front office. He's welcomed home like the champion that he is. Every single one of these guys that comes back is as beloved as the other. And I think Andre, again, represents that specific season. And that's why he's the first of, I think, five numbers that are going to be eventually retired. And it's going to be him. It's going to be Curry. It's going to be Clay. It's going to be Draymond. And I think it is also going to be Kevin Durant, despite his short amount of time here. We'll wait and see, but he's the first to go. And I thought it was an awesome event what they did yesterday, getting to hear Andre before the game. hearing him explain his thought process for his career, for his time in Golden State, and also a story that I want to share on the other side. He saw the birth of Curry before anybody, and again, it's why I believe he's a prescient person, but he had a specific story that I thought was really cool that I want to share. And we can get to it on the other side, because that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. A reminder also that in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have two things going on. Number one, Tim Roy, voice of the Golden State Warriors, is going to join us at 8:30. And then sometime during that hour, we're going to give you an opportunity to take home a Jimmy Butler number 10 Golden State Warriors jersey. They're 5-1 with him. They waxed the Dallas Mavericks yesterday, 126-102. And they look like a team that is now going to be talked about as a potential contender. Draymond Green may have been on to something. 888-957-9570 is the number. Two Joes are out. Sam, Evan, in for you on the morning roast. We're back out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To this.
Deflected away by Iguodala. Grabbed by Draymond to Curry. Curry pass batted down. Right to Andre. Up and under. Scoops and goes in. As he was falling down, he got fouled.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Well, thanks, Tim. We're going to talk to him at 8:30. Evan Giddings, Sam Lubman in for Joe and Joe for the next 2 days. Looking forward to a lot of fun. Talking Golden State Warriors after a big win yesterday. They send number 9 up into the rafters on Andre Iguodala. We are brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. What was that from the Oklahoma? Was that Oklahoma City that play was against, Carter? Is that where that highlight came from?
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah, the play where he's running down. You remember this, Sam, where he's running down the lane and he gets clipped by, I don't know if it was like Roberson or one of the Thunder wings. He gets clipped and goes down to like almost protect his landing and just flips it up blindly behind his head and Englishes it off the glass for an and one. It's one of the first plays that you've seen in Andre Iguodala highlight reel. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I don't remember that play specifically. I mean, there's so many great Iguodala moments. When we talk about, you know, an Iguodala moment that stands out to you, and I'd love to see if there's any, you know, other moments that stand out to Warrior fans. 888-957-9570 is the number. Definitely want to hear from Dub Nation today about the Andre Iguodala retirement ceremony, and as well as just where the Warriors stand overall. But for me, Evan, there's not one like specific moment that stands out for me. It's more just a collection of moments, and it comes down to what he did in games 5 and 6 of that 2015 series against the Cavs, where
where he stole Steph's MVP.
He ripped the MVP right out of Steph's cold living hands. Said, "This is my MVP. You will never ever get one because I'm better." It's exactly how it happened.
For a guy that seems to worship the ground that 30 walks on, he really did him dirty in the first NBA Finals they won.
It's not just the way that he guarded LeBron in that series. And I'll always remember Sports Illustrated had such a great cover during that series. It was, you know, they had him and LeBron on the cover, and the title was Andre versus the Giant. And I always loved that one. But they just, Iguodala is just draining threes those last two games, and I would just go nuts every time he hit one of those threes. And just, I mean, obviously, you think of three pointers on this team, you think of Steph, you think of Clay, but he was just getting so many of these clutch three pointers in that series. And yeah, when he was named the MVP, it was just like, yeah, I totally agree with this, because his coming off the bench in that series to start those final three games was. It was the move that flipped the series, and he was, you know, everyone's like, oh, how was he so great on LeBron? LeBron still averaged like 50 points a game in that series, or whatever absurd numbers
that
LeBron.
Did.
Yeah, whatever absurd numbers that LeBron was putting up at that time. But if I the way I remember it, Evan, what Iguodala did, and I'm trying not to call him Iggy because you told me he doesn't like that name. so well, I'm trying this whole show now, but like, just don't call him Iggy.
I feel like Iggy was, you know, his nickname used for the majority of the time here, but then I just noticed, like, no one called him Iggy yesterday.
Yeah, no one did.
It's only Andre or Dre. So just, yeah. let's try and show him that respect.
I know, so I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to, yeah, Andre, Iguodala, but yeah, I keep reverting to Iggy. But Iguodala, he almost forced LeBron to try and just do everything on his own, which, I mean, considering that Kyrie and Kevin Love weren't there, he kind of had to, but when he forced LeBron to basically do everything on his own, like, it was a 1-on-5 game. And at that point, it was game over. LeBron can put up whatever numbers he wanted. Those numbers aren't going to be doing anything just because of the way that Iguodala was kind of forcing LeBron to just do everything on his own. So you talk about great moments there. It's, yeah, I don't have one specific moment, but watching what Iguodala did in games 4, 5, and 6, especially 5 and 6, that's just, for me, what will always immortalize him as one of the great Warriors of all time.
Well, and even though Curry has clearly become one of the, you know, greatest crunch time performers of this generation, Iguodala was the one that received Max Kellerman's vote. And at the time, the setup was so ridiculous that it's going to live in infamy. But it wasn't necessarily inaccurate, because the guy that had the most game-winning shots was Andre Iguodala. Mm-hmm. In 2013-14, he had the down-2 three-pointer at Atlanta, walk-off winner. I think he also had a fadeaway the same season against Oklahoma City from the baseline. So Andre Iguodala was in many ways the Warriors, or one of their go-to closers, and he was just someone that I think you could throw in any situation. I mean, there are plays that he made. In fact, actually, the best play that he didn't make was against, I think it was the Denver Nuggets, where like he drilled through four guys, went around his back between the legs and tried to dunk it on somebody and missed, and then he ended up getting fouled. But Oracle was ready to absolutely erupt. And Andre Iguodala also knew how to play to the crowd. I mean, the way that he would, his and-one finishes, he would kind of do like, you know, like this old man walk, and he would scrunch his face, and he would look to the crowd. He would also get his eyes real big and look at you like, all right, I'm about to make something happen.
He's very demonstrative of those expressions, yeah.
He knew how to energize Steph. He knew how to extract out of a relatively emotionless Klay Thompson. All these guys were young and entering their primes, but he knew how to get the most out of them. Draymond didn't really have to poke the bear much. That one was someone that he didn't have to do much with. And you're right, 5-1-0.
Yeah, kind of bring the bear back a little bit, yeah.
Exactly, and you're right, 5-1-0. The death lineup. Iguodala was the first person that created, because of how versatile he was, the final piece to the death lineup. And I know that Kevin Durant is kind of, you know, the bigger fifth, but they had a version of that before.
Yeah, with Harrison
Curry,
Barnes.
Klay, Barnes, Draymond, and Iggy.
Yeah. How cool is seeing HB on that tribute video yesterday?
I don't know. Do we have the sound from all the people that sent messages in, Carter? Because there was also someone else. I know I mentioned that Sean Livingston got a big round of applause, but during the retirement ceremony, the video itself, and it's like a minute and a half, so you might have to stick with us. While we get that ready for you, let's listen to Curry talk about when he knew that Andre was going to become a part of this team, but also the message to the Warriors after that 2013 Nuggets series.
I remember game 6 in 2013. You were on the Denver Nuggets, and we were the young, scrappy Warriors who were trying to cement ourselves in the playoffs. We had the fortune of beating you that series, but the first thing after the horn went off, you ran across the court and you found me. And obviously we had a history, but that love and that message you gave me right there, I didn't know it was in the future, but I could feel something, and I could feel that you saw something. And fast forward, what, 4 months later, no, not even, and you were the first one to choose us. And that meant the world for a team that was trying to figure it out.
Prescient, Sam. He was prescient.
Yeah, no, it's a great word, actually. I can't say it's a word I hear a lot, actually. You might be the first person I've heard say it. But, yeah, I'm looking over kind of what he said in his pregame presser, and he did kind of talk about how he was drawn to the joy that Steph and Klay were, that the joy that Steph and Klay played with. But he also pointed out how they came from NBA families, so, like, they were kind of specially equipped to handle the daily, you know, the daily grind of the NBA. They understood the attention that comes with it and the eyes that are on you. And he talked about how, yeah, that caught his attention. Like, these are guys that play with fun, but they get it. And then there's also Draymond Green, who brought that edge to kind of balance things out there. So, yeah, the Warriors had the ingredients, and he did see it cooking, and he did see it brewing there. And, yeah, it was... That's what we've said it so many times, that he legitimized them in a way that they truly needed it at the right time. And hearing those stories, and you mentioned a really funny story before we go out the lines maybe a little bit, but you know, we're talking about the Kellerman "I want Iguodala" moment. A moment that made me laugh at his pregame presser yesterday was he was talking about, you know, the impact that this had on his kids. You know, he's got Andre Jr., 17, who I guess he said he got back from like 11 o'clock on Saturday night from their official visit to U of A.
Andre Jr. is a dude.
Yeah.
So he was at St. Mary's College, I think it was in December. They were playing, maybe it was Chattanooga, but I was doing radio for them that night. And I saw Andre Iguodala in the building. I was like, oh, that's nice. Thank you. Andre Iguodala's coming out to support the local team.
He's a big Gales fan, Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, not exactly. His kid's getting recruited by just about everybody. So, yeah, they got in late because Andre Jr.'s probably going to play college basketball.
It's quite the grind there. And he's talking about how, you know, Andre Jr. was only kind of so into it at the time because he was, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old when those first championships were won.
He's like 6'10 now.
Yeah, he's a big dude. And yeah, because he was part of the ceremony. He got things going there. But he's like, yeah, you know, he said, like, yeah, Andre Jr. turned to him when he was, like, 12 years old. It's like, yeah, I'm bored of all this winning. I thought that was funny. But the part that I had to really stifle a laugh on was his 15-year-old daughter, I guess, at high school. When she's walking through the halls, people yell, I want Iguodala at her all the time, which I kind of had to laugh at. I don't know if I'm Andre, if I would be, like, super thrilled about that. But it's just the fact that 10 years later, kids who were 5 years old at the time are still doing the I want Iguodala. Just shows not just how, you know, much that Kellerman moment has got around, but that's the impact that Andre Iguodala has. The fact that I want Iguodala could 10 years later still be that relevant, because as we saw yesterday, a lot of dumb nation still wants Iguodala.
Well, for those watching on YouTube and Twitch, they put it on the shirt. The giveaway shirt that I'm wearing right now at the bottom. I want Iguodala. It's got all of his accomplishments, all of his accolades, and then, of course, probably the most famous words said about him, which was, looking back on it, hilarious, because it's putting down his favorite player. Andre Iguodala's favorite player is Steph Curry, and Max Kellerman chose him over 30.
Yeah, I think you said before the show, as I'm wearing my In Steph We Trust shirt today. Yeah, you may think, yeah, now it's In Steph We Trust because Iguodala's not on the team anymore, but you said before the show, Evan, perfect line, you may think you love Steph Curry.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.